finished up talking about these old things about Satan. And we know Satan is called our adversary, someone that's always against us. Number two, we talked about Satan prowls around just as the lion looks for his kill and who he may devour. Satan also does that. And Satan is like that born lion that can be heard for a long way off, and his roar can be intimidating. And I believe it was Julie showed me a guy was in a building, and he was looking out through the window, and you could see this male lion and a female back in the background, and they was growling at him. Just looking through the window. And also it says Satan is seeking somewhere to devour. Just as the lion needs to eat daily. Of course, his kill rate's not that high as you would think it would be, but Satan is on the prowl just as he is, always looking for someone to devour. And a little bit about the lion's background. The lions are only one of six of the larger predators found in Africa. And they often live in a thing called a pride or a family unit, but most of the time you'll hear the word pride. And inside the pride, they have a certain anarchy. There's always ones that are head over the other ones, and not only them, the wild dogs are like that, the dingoes are like that, a lot of them that, let's see, well, you could say the deer is like that to an extent, because the buck's over the female. They can consist of like 2 to 30 animals. And when I think when it talks about, you know, when it's time to drive them away, as they mature in age, like I was talking about, their mane will be a black mane when they're younger. And then as they age, it'll turn more reddish brown. And, I think as Ms. Renaud brought it up, she said, well, you know the females do most of the killing, don't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. But, and that's true, they do. But like if you've got younger males that are aging rapidly, they'll get run out of the pride, so they'll have to go start their own pride themselves. And that goes along sometimes with females that are not accepted. Sometimes they got to go out and start theirs as well. And because the males, they don't want, eventually they would have competitions within the pride to try to overthrow the dominant male. And they live in territories that overlap one another, but or border several other pride territories. So they do intermingle, but usually they cut this territory that takes up is 100 square miles. So that's a pretty good territory. Or something like it, this one had it like this 64,000 acres. So they've got a lot of room to cover. And of course, their pride where they hang out depends on vegetation and on terrain. And the more vegetation you have, the better the terrain you have, water is a big key to it, the more prey animals would hang out there. that's sort of an average, because the better territory, their kill rates probably go up because there'd be more for them to eat. And like we just talked about the younger lions that might be out, we'll say they're just outcasts. They got to go fend in other territories or pride, start one of their own. And But male lions protect pride from other males. And they're known to protect their territory by scent markings. Like, I know everybody's seen a cat, like, gets around the car or something. He's showing his territory. And they do it by roaring. And also by patrolling the boundaries. And you think of how long it would take a lion to patrol the boundary or his boundary at 100 square miles. It'd take him, you know, quite a bit of time. And a lion's roar is used to tell to locate his pride, not other prides, but he can use his roar to locate other prides, as well as intruders may be in. They can hear for a long distance. And I was telling Steve this a while back, and again, I forgot my yardstick, but there was this one guy said that there was a male lion and a man that was set 5'7". Now, the lion could look straight into his eyes at 5'7". And you think how big that lion is. Of course, he's long and leggy anyway, and his body, it looks like at least like a 3-foot span there from his legs up to his back. And then you look how long his neck and top of his head is. But, and of course, they're probably vary just as any other thing. Vary, not every horse is the same height, not every, you know, dog's the same height, stuff like that. But they can weigh up to 500 pounds. So they're a very, very large animal. And their body weight is like 0%, just about. And they can pull down prey like 3 times their size. And their main killing teeth is about as long as your forefinger, their tushies. And they can crush the vertebrae of a zebra or a wildebeest just like it, and of course its front feet have retractable paws or claws like a cat does. They can either stick them out, and they say they're as sharp as any kitchen knife that you can find. And but the back paw gives them ability that they need to latch on to their prey. And it says they stick to them when they come upon prey, they stick to them like a piece of Velcro sticking to something. And they really latch on to them. And the front feet have 5 toes, and the back feet only have 4 toes. And you would think that 45 feet would be a pretty safe distance to get away from a lion. Or they can cover the ground. It says from 45 feet, you can't even get out, look, a lion. something like that, but they do have good speed. The male lions are, all they got on their mind is killing and eating. And they come first in the pride. If there's a kill made, they're going to eat first. And then everything else will get to leftovers. They say the roar is about 110 decibels. That's equal to like a chainsaw, if you was listening to them. Of course, you know, if you're at home, like, and way down the road, you can hear a chainsaw that cranks up or not, and you can hear them way off. It says their roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. And of course, probably with the better hearing that lions have, they could hear another lion probably farther than we ever could.
Thomas, can I add in this detail? In Amos chapter 1, verse 2, when God was using the prophet Amos to call his people to repentance, the way he starts this book is, he says in verse 2, the Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn and the top of Carmel withers. And so he describes, you know, God's that booming voice, that roar of a lion that does incite fear. I listened to that same video that Julie showed you, and you don't want to be around that. You know, when you hear that low bassy boom and the roar, and you can see how it describes the shepherds and the different places just kind of withering away and slinking away because it's so intimidating. And so God knew that they knew that sound and what it incited inside them. And he used that for his voice, thundering judgment that they might return.
I'm just reading Amos chapter 3, verse 8. It says, a lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Use the lion at least twice there.
Stronger animals, say, for instance, like a bear, would be stronger. But as far as grace and I guess that whole look of an assassin. You can't really do better than the lion itself. And I myself think about the riddle that Samson had posed to the Philistines, right? And of course they had to get the answer, the solution from his wife to be, but you know, they just said, yeah, what is stronger than a lion? So it's like for all these generations since ancient times, people have looked at the lion as the apex predator in a way, like the pinnacle at the very top. Don't mess with that.
So not only in the lion, you see other animals just about, you know, like how he's the dominant one. Of course, the female is one too, but just you think of turkeys. Think of the cardinal bird. They're a different color. The males are much brighter than the females. The turkey gobblers is much different colored up than the females. And that goes into a lot of animals.
And I'll just also say this too, that when you think of Satan as a lion, and you see his strength that's emphasized there, we would not be so foolhardy, hopefully, to try to think that we could take on a lion one-on-one. But if we're going to have a lion is successfully beaten back, you want a lion on your side. And so isn't it interesting that Jesus is referred to as the Lion of Judah, and he would be a stronger lion than the devil.
Anybody else? There, of course, I believe we already read this verse, but we'll look at it again, 1 Peter 5, and there in verse 8, it says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So, if you were a lion, and really, can a lion be roaring when he's hunting? He can't be. Because if he was, he'd be starving. Because everybody would know he's coming. And lions have to stop within like 100 to 150 feet of the prey to have a chance at it. To even launch a surprise attack on it. And, but like I was telling Steve, the hyena's kill rate is way higher than the lion. The lion's is 10 to 15% of kill rate. You would think that would be a lot higher than that, considering how long they sort of lay around, you know, like cats do. They'll lay around. But most of the time, just as and you can parallel this with Satan, their work is done mostly at night. And Satan, he seeks to tantalize us or to get us to do things more. We're more apt to do it, it seems like, at night than we are in the daytime. And that's what he does. He seeks to devour more at nighttime. It's like Satan. Of course, like I said a while ago, because of the vegetation and the area they're in, that is part of the success rate that we was talking about. In a good area, hunting area, their kill rate's probably up a lot more. Of course, now those young lions that they pushed away, they might have to settle for smaller game, nothing like the lion would use. So, we know any lion likes to have a roar while he's out hunting would starve, so because we talked about the prey would hear him and then they'd be gone. And let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Is that what you just talked about? No. No. I'm 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And a lot of people are blinded in this world by material things, by other false teachers, ones that they think they're doing right because grandpa, grandma, mom and dad has led them down this road, and in a sense they're blinded. They might see fine, but they're being led the wrong way. They're being led astray, and once they're on that road, it's hard to change your mind. Well, I know Steve and Julie knows this boy I work with. His wife used to work with Julie. And, of course, his wife, that was his second marriage. And I asked him, I said, well, you know, Rick, I said, that, you know, did one of y'all cheat on the other's reason? Broke it all? No, we just couldn't get along. And I told him, I said, well, you're unscripturally married. And he said, I'll never go back to her, and I'll never leave my wife. So, you know, he's been blinded, in a sense, for he'll be lost eternally. A pride male knowing someone in his territory, if he knows someone's there, some strange line, or he'll typically, if he hears that other line roar, he charges to that area and he'll start calling to see. He's sort of like at Tom Turkey, when he hears a hen, if he's wanting to find her, a turkey moves to you pretty fast when they come after you. And he's looking for that hen. And what he's looking for, though, he's wanting to get rid of that other male that might try to take his spot in the pride. And he'll use this as a tactic to either scare the other male if his roar is real big, or when he finds him, one of them's going to be to the death, and he'll go ahead and kill him, or the other one will kill him. And over in John, Book of John, verse 15. There in verse 19, Christ says something about dangerous territory. If you were of the world loves its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. So, a lot of times the world doesn't seem, just like overall Amanda's work associates, and they just want her to go to the other Church of Christ down at the other end of town to have something in the fellowship hall. Well, see, she couldn't be part of that world because she is of Christ's world. And we got to be on guard every day because says to be very vigilant. That means to be watchful. Just as the lion is always, like Thor brought up, he's always locked in. Just like he was searching for that other lion in his territory, you can bet he was locked in looking for him. And of course, when you go into lion country, you need to be on high alert. And I thought about Justin putting him out in front with a gun or something. I'd stay in the back about 300 or 400 yards. Put him out there. And Chris Reeves might be out there and they stick a gun in the dirt and they won't have nothing to shoot. But I'm just kidding, Justin. But lion's senses are a lot better than humans. We know they can smell better, they can hear better than us. And their vision, especially at night, there's no comparison. At night, of course, we got to use flashlights and go out. When we go out coon hunting, we got to use flashlights to go see if we spot the coon in the tree and get around the woods. But unless it's real moonlit outside, and usually you don't want to go out on that like it. But Elena Reed brought this up. You know, they sense, like the devil does, they sense the ones that are weak. In a herd, say a wildebeest, if they were active, and they might sense one that was hurt or crippled in some way, and they'll seek to get that weakling out. And that's what makes them not only a killer, but a specialized killer.
There's an interesting point you're bringing up about the roaring of a lion. Typically, I guess we would think of them roaring when they're fighting each other, right? One male against another male. But I think I've seen enough footage, too, to know that, like, when they have gone close enough to some prey of some kind, it seems like instinctively they will quickly let out a roar. And I imagine that would be the last sound that animal might ever hear. I don't know if it has a way of stunning the animal, like it freezes the animal quickly or something, but that's kind of it, game over after that. I remember watching some nighttime footage there where, it might have been David Attenborough narrating, and you had like a pack of hyenas that happened to be harassing a lioness, and they were not aware that the male lion was coming by. And that shut down that party pretty quick because the lion roared and he bit into one of the hyenas and I think probably just cracked its neck or something like that, and the other just quickly scattered away. But it could also be that roar is a warning to others too. And yet, so when Peter talks about how our adversary is like this roaring lion, he did preface it by saying, be sober, be vigilant, and be watchful. Because right? You're right. The lion's not going to be constantly roaring, giving his location away all the time. But, hey, you have to be watchful, because if you do hear that roar, it's probably too late.
You know, you said that, you know, there's some venomous snakes out there. And I know at least two that have some kind of warning sign that I'm talking about, like, around here. The rattler, of course, like a timber rattler, he'll wag and tail you there to rattle. And I remember when I was a kid walking up down this branch and there was a snake and his mouth was open and it just white as snow. And cotton mouth, they call it, and I think it's water moccasin too. And but very venomous. And I think that's the only one I've ever seen. And that's when I was young. I remember I was down at an old well house. And I had my hands up on it my wife, if I find a shed of a snake and I run her in the house, which is shaking it, you know. But of course, a lot of people are scared of snakes anyway. But you know, as God, sometimes He'll give us, give the animals certain things, like His roar, the look of a cotton mouth when He's thinking about striking the rapper. And of course, there's a lot more. Old goose, when she's trying to hatch out eggs, she'll take those, she'll stretch that neck straight out, she'll throw those wings out and come hissing at you. And that's just something that is gets you. And they'll pinch a plug out of you with those beaks if you don't watch them. And they can do some damage.
Yeah, I was saying, you mentioned the point about how the lion looks for the weakling, you know, or the one that's separated from the rest of the bunch because there's strength in numbers, and goes after that one. Might also make the opposite point that in Scripture, when someone possessed strength, and usually strength tied because they were tied with God, they were able to defeat the lion. Like David, right? Fought the lions and the bears, and he was a man after God's own heart. And then I remember the sermon on Sunday, I mentioned David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23:20, Benaniah, where it says that he also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And so there's that warning to us that if we're going to be weak and away from God, away from His people, we're going to be easy prey. But then there's the other counterbalance that says if we're close to God and strong with God and with the mighty men together, you know, we've got this strength to defeat the foe.
You think of that. Now, in a pit, there'd be nowhere to go. It'd either be you or him. And with the slippery conditions that the snow might be, well, you couldn't get good food. We see how brave a guy that guy was.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I can say, there's three ways. First John talks about First John 2 and 15. There's three ways that sin, that we are enticed to sin. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But even David, as strong as he was, he had the lust of the eyes that drew him to commit adultery. Satan is a spirit, just like God is a spirit. Satan knows our weakness. We know what we're weak on. We know what our strengths are. But he's going to use our weakness to draw us out. So this is why we have to be watchful. We know our weakness. We know what can tempt us. And therefore, we have to be careful that Satan does not take advantage of us. So even though he will, yes, take a weak person, but we ourselves have to be watchful.
Yeah, because everybody's temptation is different.
Exactly.
And what tempts me may not tempt everybody else. He knows that. And that's what's dangerous about it. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy, and then Randy.
I like the way you worded it in the book that we're studying in depth. God, we look at God as the power and mind and strength and all of life, but not the lion that's going to come on us and kill and devour us. So He sent a lamb to save us. He doesn't want the power to devour us, but He does have His wrath if we don't listen. He has the wrath of God, but He won't just count on and literally destroy us. He wants us to come back. That's why He sent Jesus.
Just sort of like Job, the story of Job, where He said, just don't kill him, but you can do certain things to him.
I was thinking about the idea of being separated and how Satan seeks to prey on us when we separate ourselves. I was thinking back to the Garden of Eden when Satan approaches Eve. He does
We'll begin here Sunday and continue our discussion on the lion. And then I believe dogs. Dogs is going to be next. I'll tell you right now, the dogs was a lot. They thought, at the beginning of this class, I'd say, if anything about dogs, I'm going to know, and I know a lot about dogs. But as for the Bible on finding stuff on dogs, there's not as much there as you think it is. So I got to come up with something else to go with. But thank you for your comments. And